Greetings and salutations, and welcome back to Colin's Last Stand right here on YouTube. My name is Colin Moriarty. Now, if you're watching this, and I'm pretty certain you are watching and not just listening to it, but maybe you're just listening to it, but if you're watching it, you would have noticed that there's something different about the way this looks. I now have a microphone in my face, a pop filter. You can't see it, but I've also had the room treated for echoing and all that kind of stuff, so the audio fidelity should be much better, which you should be hearing, since you can get away with just listening to the video, but I think just watching it would be a little weird. So you are definitely, I hope, hearing the audio fidelity having increased, as I promised. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what you think. This microphone is going to be in my face moving forward, though, now. I have no problem with it. And frankly, I'm not that attractive, so many of you shouldn't have a problem with it either. So one video I promised that I would do a long time ago when Colin's Last Stand began some months ago was I would do a video about Dunkirk to coincide with Christopher Nolan's upcoming film called Dunkirk. I wanted to explain what happened there and what it was all about and why it's important. And a lot of people, you know, in recent weeks were like, Colin, what are you waiting for? Don't you remember you promised a video on Dunkirk? Well, Dunkirk comes out, if you're watching this, the Monday this video goes live. It comes out in just a few days, I think on the Friday after this video goes live. So here it is, as timely as ever. What I really want to do with you guys is just give you a little bit of a rundown on what led to the events at Dunkirk in France, why it was important, what happened afterwards, etc., and so on, to give you just a little bit of knowledge when you walk into the movie theater about what went on, what occurred, what happened. And I really feel like this is one of the great turning points in human history, what happened at Dunkirk. It is so important and so catastrophic, really, for the Nazis in a way, and so great a victory for the Allies, the nascent Allies at that time in 1940, that, well, the war could have gone very differently, and we could have had a very different outcome, and we could be living in a very different world. Now, I'm no film expert by any stretch of the imagination. I like movies like anyone else, but I'm not like a cinematography expert. I don't see a million movies a year. I rarely go to the theater. But when it's Christopher Nolan, I make an exception. I love Christopher Nolan. He's responsible for some of my favorite movies and some of movies I really love, Interstellar being one of my favorite movies. He also made comic book movies, not only bearable, but actually amazing with the Dark Knight trilogy. And so anything with his name on it really does draw me towards it. And Dunkirk being this thing that's rooted in my favorite thing in the world, which is history, really intrigues me, especially because Christopher Nolan is so well known for taking kind of the unbelievable or extraordinary and grounding it and making it realistic. Well, Dunkirk is already quite grounded and quite realistic because it really did happen. And so I'm really interested to see what he does with it. But this brief video has nothing really to do with the production of the movie or Christopher Nolan himself or any of that, the actors, whatever. It really is about the events. That's what I want you to know, is just there are going to be people that can speak much more authoritatively about all of that stuff. But I really just want you to have a little bit of a rundown on what happened there. And if you're a part of the British audience of Colin's Last Stand, which is substantial, or European audience, this episode's really dedicated to you guys. Americans had absolutely nothing to do with this whatsoever, what happened in Dunkirk. And it is one of the great heroic stories of a heroic people, a people I really respect, the British people. And in fact, it's this quote that I found here. I'm going to read it off my laptop. Joshua Levine gave an interview. He's an author who's written about Dunkirk. He gave an interview with the Los Angeles Times, and he said the following, and I think this quote really sets up the video nicely. So here's what he said. Quote, "When you speak to Americans, they might have heard of it, but as this terrible defeat that happened before America got involved, it's a hell of a lot more than that. Had the British army not gotten away, the British would almost certainly be forced to surrender. There wouldn't have been a D-Day if the British had not held on. It would have been a totally different world today for all of us," end quote. Well, that sets the stage. Let's jump in to the story of Dunkirk. To understand what happened at Dunkirk, you have to first understand the antagonists, Nazi Germany. Adolf Hitler and his cohort of crazies gained their long-sought power in 1933, and it was no secret that Nazi Germany had wide territorial ambitions in Europe and beyond, partially tethered to the perceived disgrace and humiliation the country faced at the end of World War I in 1918, in which Germany and its allies capitulated and were blamed for the conflict in the Treaty of Versailles that ended the war. Germany lost territory, prestige, power, and economic might, but it wasn't dead. The weak Weimar Republic that replaced the German government post-war, combined with economic despair and depression partially driven by wartime reparation payments, combined with a charismatic and believable figure in Hitler, led to Weimar's destruction, the rise of Nazism, and the birth of a new Germany that gazed north, south, east, and west in search of scapegoats to explain their country's demise in World War I, and more importantly, to find land to conquer, occupy, and annex into the Third Reich. When the events of Christopher Nolan's movie take place, Nazi Germany had been established for more than 7 years. The build towards empire took some time for the German fascists, but by the late 30s, they were primed to roll through all of Europe. In 1935, residents of the Saarland in French-occupied Germany voted 10-1 to join Nazi Germany. In 1936, the Nazis inserted its military into the Rhineland, a portion of Western Germany under international monitoring since the end of World War I. In late 1938, Nazi Germany swallows up Austria in an event known as Anschluss. Also in 1938, the Nazis take the Sudetenland region of Czechoslovakia by way of the Munich Agreement. The Nazis would take the rest of Czechoslovakia in the next year. In the second half of 1939, World War II officially kicked off when Nazi Germany invaded Poland, crushing the weak British Prime Minister Neville Chamberlain's proclamation of peace in our time, and thrusting both the British and French into a sort of repeat of a war they just finished fighting 2 decades earlier. Though France and Britain declared war on Nazi Germany following the invasion, occupation, and annexation of Poland, nothing happened until May of 1940, this gap being widely known as the so-called Phony War. But then in May of 1940, Nazi Germany undertakes its boldest act of aggression yet, its craziest land grab to date. It invaded France, Luxembourg, the Netherlands, and Belgium. While Nazi Germany managed to take complete control of Poland in only 5 weeks, it took only around a month and a half for the Nazi Blitzkrieg to take control of France and the three associated territories known as the Low Countries. During this time, Denmark and Norway also fell to Nazi ambition. All of that history combines and gives you a little bit of a landscape and a little bit of a picture of what happens in 1940 in northern France at Dunkirk and the surrounding environs. It's important to understand what Blitzkrieg is specifically and how this really contributed to the Nazi kind of reign of terror, as it were, in Western Europe and actually later in North Africa and even in Eastern Europe when they fight the Soviets. Blitzkrieg translates literally to lightning warfare, and it's a Nazi-centric idea of war. Typically, at this time, soldiers would fight on battlefields and would push lines back and forth. And actually, the experience in World War I was that the lines really rarely moved and people dug in into trenches, literal trenches, hence trench warfare, and it became very stagnant and static. The Nazi technique was way different. It was to puncture with overwhelming force the enemy line and then go behind them and encircle around them. This was basically the essence of Blitzkrieg. It would cause massive confusion. It would separate soldiers and troops and divisions from each other. It would cause massive panic in terms of the civilians, in terms of the government. It would cause massive issues in terms of keeping soldiers and everyone stocked with supplies, and supply lines would be kind of punctured by this. This was a massive deal. The way that the Nazis fought was something that a lot of people simply weren't prepared for. So when it came time in May and June of 1940 for the British and the French and everyone to kind of engage and activate, along with kind of Belgian resistance, even Polish resistance was involved in Western Europe, etc. and so on, they weren't prepared for the rapidity of the Nazi onslaught, and they didn't have time to fight. They really had to get the hell out of here. And that is where Dunkirk as an evacuation takes place. If you look at a map of France, Dunkirk is basically at the northern tip of the country, a small beachside community nestled against Belgium's western border. As the Nazis completed their takeover of France, they rolled rapidly northward, pushing any armed resistance further and further towards the northern edge of France. Ultimately, nearly a million German soldiers, tank operators, and airmen pressed down on Dunkirk in order to lay claim to the western locales of the European continent once and for all. The suddenness of the Blitz, along with the overwhelming Nazi military power being employed to take France and the Low Countries, meant that hundreds of thousands of Allied troops, some French, some Polish, some Belgian and Dutch, but mostly British, found themselves caught between the ultimate rock and a hard place. They were here to fight, but the odds were overwhelming and they weren't going to win. They were trapped, like fish in a barrel for the Luftwaffe and Wehrmacht alike. The events essentially known as Dunkirk begin at this very point. To rescue the British soldiers, as well as many Allied and friendly soldiers as possible, Prime Minister Winston Churchill sprung into action and ordered a plan drawn up and executed upon rapidly. He and his commanders saw the Nazis closing in quickly on northern France, and so time was truly of the essence. The plan was called Operation Dynamo, and it originally expected to have a 48-hour window in which it could rescue a fraction of the stranded soldiers, perhaps 35,000 to 45,000 of them. At that point, the expectation was that Nazi power would have been fully flexed across the country, and the remaining soldiers would have been lost as POWs at best, or killed at worst. On May 26, 1940, the evacuations began, though the numbers rescued remained modest as the Nazis continued to press ever closer. And the soldiers weren't the only ones suffering. Tens of thousands of unarmed civilians were killed by the Nazis during the invasion of France alone. So it was common knowledge that the Nazis would inflict pain on anyone standing in the way of the ultimate goal, which is what made Britain's next move so important and made the British people such an amazing symbol of bravery. Realizing that the Nazis may have been slowing down some in their northward march, and also realizing that Dunkirk's shallow shores, especially with its proper harbor destroyed, wouldn't allow large Royal Naval vessels near, the British put out a plea for private vessels of all types and sizes, manned by civilian crews, to join the fray and rescue whoever they could. The British maritime community heeded the call. Out of the 933 ships that took part in the Dunkirk evacuation, at least 700 of them were civilian, vessels ranging from fishing boats, sailboats, and rescue boats, to larger yachts, steamers, and barges. It was, pardon the pun, all hands on deck, as thousands of British civilians put their lives on the line to rescue their countrymen, as well as their allies trying so desperately to survive. For 9 days, military and civilian vessels alike ferried men back and forth, veering westward towards the British mainland for the short but incredibly arduous and dangerous journey. So what's interesting here is that Hitler let up and let the British go. Now, this wasn't his intention. No one really quite understands what his intention might have actually been, but this was one of the major mistakes that Adolf Hitler make, along with, I think, invading the Soviet Union in Operation Barbarossa, kind of bringing upon a bunch of pain that he didn't need. Well, here, if he just pressed forward with his renowned tank divisions, along with Luftwaffe support and maybe some Wehrmacht ground infantry support, he could have trapped the British along with their allies at Dunkirk, and everything, as I said earlier, could have gone much, much differently, but he didn't. He stopped. He thought, in his military wisdom, of which he had very little, that the Air Force, the Luftwaffe, could probably clean up and do all of this without having to involve anyone else. And my assumption here, and I think the assumption of some historians, is that Hitler wanted to preserve men. By making these invasions not wreak havoc on Nazi soldiers, families back home would probably continue to give their support of all these invasions. If they had some sort of crazy last stand battle, pardon the pun, a last stand battle at Dunkirk, it would have cost many, 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 many Nazi lives. And so my assumption is that had something to do with it, but who the hell knows? All we know is that the British were given orders to fight to the last man, and my assumption is they probably would have done that. At the end of the day, getting these soldiers back home allowed Britain to live another day, and it turned the entire war around. Britain was this beacon, the shining light of bravery throughout the entire war as the Nazis took the entire continent but could not make them capitulate. But if they didn't have these soldiers, things would have gone much differently, for sure. So picture it. The Nazis are flexing their muscles all over Western Europe, and they're about to lay the killing blow to the British military before any sort of conflict between the two adversaries actually takes place in any substantive form. Military men and civilians alike are trapped on the beaches and surrounding environs, being blasted from the air by German planes. Military ships and civilian ships alike are also being bombarded by the Luftwaffe, as they try to take any men they can towards safety, being trailed by German planes and ships to within mere miles of the British coast. Interestingly, while this is all going on, the British soldiers were said to be scared but patient, rarely fussing or fighting with each other about who would be rescued, when, or how. Their captors or murderers, depending on their fate, were only miles away. At the end of the day, 338,226 men were rescued from France and brought to Britain. Remarkably, 140,000 of them weren't even British, but French, Belgian, Polish, and other soldiers, as well as some scattered civilians. But not all news was good. More than 100,000 men were primed to be rescued, but left behind. 40,000 British soldiers became Nazi POWs, while 11,000 men ended up dying after being stranded. That's in addition to the 3,500 British soldiers that were killed during combat during the 9 days of Operation Dynamo. The air battle over and around Dunkirk was also devastating. While the Nazis lost 156 planes, the Royal Air Force lost 143, along with related crew, as they flew an astonishing 3,500 sorties in order to protect the men on the ground and the ships in the water as best as they could. 200 ships, both military and civilian, were lost as well, along with thousands of soldiers and civilians lost to the waters as their ships were caught in Nazi crossfire and sunk. Not surprisingly, the British military also had to leave supplies behind. Pretty much everything they came over with was left on the beaches of Dunkirk and the surrounding areas. 2,400 artillery guns, 65,000 vehicles, including 445 tanks, and 68,000 tons of ammo were abandoned to the Nazis in order to save the lives of those there. But that's not what's important. What's important is that those men got away, those men lived to fight another day, and those men helped deliver Allied victory some years later against the evil Nazi Empire. And a lot of that hinged on what happened at Dunkirk. And that's what makes Christopher Nolan's upcoming film, Dunkirk, so important for everyone to see. So I hope that explains well enough what happened at Dunkirk. And I hope you choose to share this video with your friends and family, as well as leave an upvote if you liked it and a downvote if you didn't. Either is fine. I want your honest opinion. Feel free to leave some comments down there in the comments below the video. I'm often down there talking to you guys. Please keep it respectful whether or not you like the video. We have a good thing going on here with Colin's Last Stand's community. I'd like to keep it nice and productive. And of course, Colin's Last Stand is fully funded by the fans. There are no ads running on YouTube. There are no ad activations or ads embedded in my videos. It's all funded on Patreon at patreon.com/Colin's Last Stand. And you can give $1 a month, $2 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month, whatever you can to not only fund these videos being created ad free for all, but you get some extra perks and some cool stuff over there at Patreon as well. So I'd really appreciate it if you checked it out and supported me. All right, it's time for me to skedaddle. I hope you enjoyed the video, the little rundown on Dunkirk. I hope you walk into the theater a little more informed. And again, let me give my heartfelt appreciation and thanks to my British audience out there, because this episode really is dedicated to you and your countrymen. Well done. Keep on learning.